Dr. Luther. Yesterday you admitted these writings were yours. Will you tell us now? Do you persist in what you have written here? Or are you prepared to retract these writings and the beliefs they contain?
I ask pardon if I lack the manners that befit this court. I was not brought up in king's palaces, but in the seclusion of a cloister. I am asked to retract these writings, but they are of different kinds. In some I discuss faith and good works. If I were to retract these, I should be denying accepted Christian truths. In others, I attack popery and assail men who have afflicted the Christian world and ruined the bodies and souls of other men. If I were to retract those, I should be like a cloak that covers evil. Most serene emperor, illustrious princes, noble lords, I am only a man and not God. But I must defend myself as did Jesus Christ when he said, as I say now, if I have spoken evil, bear witness against me.
Martin Luther, you have not yet answered the question. Give us a simple answer. Will you recant or will you not?
You asked for a simple answer. Here it is. Unless you can convince me by scripture, and not by popes or councils who have often contradicted each other, unless I am so convinced that I am wrong, I am bound to my beliefs by the texts of the Bible. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. To go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Therefore, I cannot and I will not recant. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen.
You're listening to His Time. It is time for Historically Speaking with our friends at Concordia Historical Institute. That means Dr. Daniel Harmelink here in studio. Good morning, Dr. Harmelink.
Good morning.
Glad to have you in studio. You brought along a guest with you this morning. Tell us who you brought along with you today.
This is Mrs. Laura Mars. She's head of reference department at CHI, and she's helping with a new project that we're excited about and would like to share with the church.
A new project. Well, Laura, welcome. It's so glad to have you here.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, that was a blast from the past, wasn't it?
I know. Yeah, I guess we should reference the little soundbite.
Some
there.
Of our listeners are thinking, what was that?
Right.
So in the days of black and white movies, this was the 1950s Luther movie. And that was one of the high points of the whole, 2-hour movie, is Luther saying, I will not recant. I cannot recant. And so this goes into the subject for today. And if you click on the LutheranReformation.org website, this new special thing for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, under resources, you can go to a resource that CHI is making available. And this is called Faces of the Reformation. 25 personalities associated with the Reformation. And this month, we're featuring this person called Knight George, and he's a guy with a beard. So I thought, well, in view of what we just heard with the audio clip and this title, Knight George, I thought we'd give our listeners a quiz today.
I'm glad he didn't say, I'm giving you a quiz, Andy.
No, I'm trying to be gracious.
Thank you.
So twice in his life, Martin Luther grew a beard. Was it because A, it was a sign that he was married? I mean, that's what it is for the Amish, right? Or B, he was hiding from the law? see, he wanted to hide an ugly scar he got in a fight with Thomas Muenzer. Or D, it was deer season. Why did Luther grow a beard?
This is a great question for a trivia night. You know, trivia nights are big here in St. Louis, especially among Lutherans. We should save this for a trivia night.
We had a trivia night last spring, and it was a hoot.
I would not participate in a trivia night against you. You'd have to be at my table if it were a Lutheran trivia night. That's just not fair. Okay, what were the options again? Why did he grow a beard? And there were several reasons.
A, it was a sign that he was married. B, he was hiding from the law. C, he wanted to hide an ugly scar. D, it was deer season.
I'm going to eliminate deer season. Because he was hiding from the law?
Yeah, bingo.
Here you go.
It wasn't because he was hiding a scar. Okay, that was a plausible one, you know.
No, twice in his life he had to hide out, and as part of that, he put on monk garb, but other clothing, changed his name, and tried to be as unnoticeable as possible. So, Laura, maybe you can walk us through these three resources that are available. Again, it's at the LutheranReformation.org website. Faces of the Reformation. If you click on that, you'll see Knight George. And who is this guy?
Well, as you said, we've been producing these little biographical sketches on different people in the Reformation. And Knight George was simply Luther's alias while he was in hiding when he went to the Wartburg after he left that famous "Here I stand, I can do no other." He had a price put on his head. He was wanted, dead or alive, and it was perfectly legal to kill him.
He was an outlaw.
Yes. So his prince, Frederick the Wise, was the one to protect him and whisked him away, pretending to have him kidnapped. Not even some of the people that were traveling with him realized what was really going on.
Was this in the Thuringian Forest?
I believe that's...
This is in the forest in the dark of night. And they were armed. So when that happened, word got out that Luther had been kidnapped, and no one knew who had done this. So, for example, Albrecht Dürer, the great Renaissance Reformation artist, wept thinking that Luther had been killed. Many people didn't know what had happened to him.
Right. So, but in the meantime, he's hiding out in the Wartburg, which is a castle that was owned by Frederick the Wise. And while he's there, he's not a man to do nothing well. So he busies himself in many different ways. And one of them was to translate the entire New Testament from Greek into German, which was a first. And it helped codify the German language, which was huge. He also wrote a lot of books and commentaries on Psalms and things like that. And what's shocking to me is that he did all of this in only 10 months. The New Testament translation alone, only 11 weeks. Who does this?
Wow. Yeah, and at the same time, again, Luther cannot preach. He's cut off from his family and from the congregations that he was under shepherding, right? So even though he's cranking out all of this material for the church, he feels like he's not doing anything.
Right.
That he's imprisoned in the Wartburg, and he suffers. He suffers from the change in diet, this isolation from everyone else. It was not a happy time for Luther, but God continues to be gracious in making this time a productive time for the church.
Right, right.
So he really... just in being in isolation, really, as you pointed out, just was felt so alone, but yet he was still productive during that time.
That was his salvation,
right.
Was his work. Yeah. He was able to, just like you said, produce so much for the church.
So this was either the work of the Holy Spirit or a lot of coffee.
Some of both.
Exactly. Well, it was, I liken it to St. Paul's Patmos, or St. John's Patmos. It's an exile, but again, Luther needs to be busy, right? It's like a pastor on vacation. They're still thinking about what their next sermon's going to be about. And Luther didn't have a pulpit, so he went to translating and writing commentaries on the Psalms and this kind of thing. I think it was his therapy, you know.
Right.
I must write this commentary or I will go crazy.
And he's getting these letters from his friends saying the church in Wittenberg is falling apart. It's becoming chaotic as other people say, well, I'm in charge now. Luther, we don't know what happened to him, so I'm in charge. And so we're going to purge all the churches of all this Catholic stuff. And they go crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So under Karlstadt, the images are being hauled out. It's just the Reformation's going in a completely wrong direction.
Right.
And Luther, mm-hmm. Luther has can't. He's cut off.
From, yeah, he's helpless. He's stuck in this mm-hmm. in this castle.
So as part of the Faces of the Reformation series, we have some resources. We have a half-page bulletin insert that pastors and teachers, congregational leaders can download. This is all for free. You can put once a month one of these Faces of the Reformation in the bulletin so people can understand more about the history of the Lutheran Church. We also have a one-page handout that talks about Luther's life during this time in a little more detail as far as Charles the Fifth and how he, at the Diet of Worms, basically decreed that anyone, not only Luther was to be silenced, but anyone aiding Luther was to be dealt with,
mm-hmm.
and how God used this time to move the Reformation forward. And then we also have like a one-page Bible study that uses a mighty fortress as kind of the skeleton to talk about this time of Knight George in the Wartburg and how God was the one. I mean, Luther felt helpless. I mean, he was helpless, right? So it's a reminder to each of us that it's God, it's Christ that is the champion. He's the one that has to win the battle.
Hmm. Indeed.
And
indeed.
Luther had to learn that too.
Right.
Yeah. I like this this handy Bible study and the Mighty Fortress theme that
have you heard of that hymn?
I have, yes. I appreciate this. All great resources on LutheranReformation.org. I should add that KFUO will be providing some interviews on these same subjects as well on LutheranReformation.org. And we'll be talking with you and other scholars on these different faces of the Reformation.
There's already a fantastic interview with Pastor Martin Noland mm-hmm. on Philip Melanchthon.
Yes. Yeah.
And a real eye-opener as far as the details of his life. So a lot of great resources. And again, everyone has permission to begin to commemorate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. You don't have to wait until October 31st of next year.
Dr. Harmelink has given us permission. We can begin.
It's too much to do, celebrate in just one day. So,
and if the guys want to grow a beard this month in honor of Knight George, you
or
can
to
do that
hide
too.
Out.
Is it deer season?
I think it's just it started back in November, so it's probably over by now.
Okay.
It's too cold to hunt for deer
in
right
St.
now.
Louis. It's flood season,
right? Easy to find the deer. It's you know, that's why I grew a beard is to hide out, just like Luther, so that no one could find me. Not that I'm on the radio every day or anything.
You probably shouldn't have mentioned that.
Okay.
So previous months we've had we have a Face of the Reformation. We have one on Katharina, Luther's wife. It's another great Bible study, another great bulletin insert, and again, as we mentioned, the one on Philip Melanchthon. So mm-hmm. these are people that you should at least be aware of.
And it's not only just, you know, the heroes of the Reformation, some villains of the Reformation sort of in
Boo.
There too.
So. Hey, did you know that that Katie Luther is coming to KFUO? Yeah.
Really?
She'll be here on Faith and Family on February 1st.
Very nice.
If you could ask her if she's pleased with the work that we've done.
I will.
Last month on the Faces of the Reformation, that would be good.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But again, you know, Katie is fascinating, not only because she's Luther's wife, but much more.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, this I've learned in the past few months, learned a little bit more about her as well, and didn't realize, you know, that the time after Martin's death, I think that kind of gets lost in the history. Sometimes we overlook that, and how difficult that was. I just didn't realize it till I really heard her story recently and thought how difficult that must have been, and the trouble that she faced, you know, that during that time.
Well, and you've heard me say before, you have to tell the whole history. Mm-hmm. And that goes for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. That goes for Martin Luther. I mean, this time in the Wartburg was a painful one for him.
Right.
And also, after Martin's death, Katie suffered tremendously. Mm-hmm. But again, she held tight to Christ.
Well, it is a unique story. I thank you for sharing this history of the Knight George, and we'll learn about Katie in the future as well. I love learning this. I've really enjoyed this since we've started this new segment. I've loved learning the history each week, and I think it's just engaging, and I think it's helpful to our listeners too. Listeners, let us know. Email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. If there's something you want to hear about here on Historically Speaking, right, let us know too, kfuo@kfuo.org.
Other church history resources at Concordia Historical Institute.org, and again, these are given, hopefully it's a blessing to the church. So yeah, let us know what you think.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I hope you enjoyed coming over today, Laura, and sharing with us. Come back anytime.
Oh, thank you.
And share with us more history. I love this segment. Well, any idea what we might cover coming up next week?
It's a secret.
It's a secret. You're not going to
tell us. Well, we'll be in Fort Wayne.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We're going to be on the phone next week, aren't we?
So the audio quality may not be 100%, but we're going to do it anyway.
You're calling from the field house?
If you're at the symposia, yeah, come and see us. Come see CHI's exhibit.
Well, thanks so much, Dr. Harmelink and Laura Mars. Thank you so much for being our guest here this morning on His Time.
Thank you,
Ian.
Coming up in just a little bit, morning prayer on the Messenger of Good News.